You're listening to B2B Revenue Acceleration, a podcast dedicated to helping software executives stay on the cutting edge of sales and marketing in their industry. Let's get into the show.
Looking to grow your pipeline? Download the free SDR handbook from Operatix for insider tips and expert advice on how to launch, grow, and manage a successful sales development team. Head to operatix.net/SDR-handbook/ to download now.
Hi, welcome to B2B Revenue Acceleration. My name is Katharina Ho, and I'm here today with Jay Menage, SVP of Sales and Marketing at EDE. How are you doing today, Jay?
I'm doing really well. It's fresh off of a nice 3-day weekend here in the States, so I'm nice and refreshed coming into this week.
Nice, brilliant. I was excited to have you on the show because we've known each other for a few years now, I'd say. I think we met through Pavilion. And so it's great to have you on the show to learn a little bit more about trade shows. We know you are the guru when it comes to them. So before we actually go into the conversation, can you just introduce yourself a little bit to our audience and tell us more about EDE, please?
Yeah, of course. So EDE, we create personalized experiences for trade shows, museums, and branded environments. We're family-owned. We've been around since 1979, started by Frank Tibidar. And really what these personalized experiences mean, you know, we design, we build, and we manage the trade shows from beginning to end. So basically, event marketers who are working on probably easily 80 to 90 different tasks at all at one time, we at least remove the full trade show scope from them.
Brilliant. Exciting. When we think about trade shows, obviously, it's not just about the event itself. It's everything that comes before that and everything that comes after that, right? If we start with everything that comes before it, what are the most effective strategies for pre-show promotion and driving traffic to the booth? And how long in advance should companies start generating interest and excitement around those events?
So on average, I'd say about 6 weeks prior is around the time frame we recommend that clients start pushing their prospects and attendees to come to their space. And you have to think of it, you know, this is where sales and marketing alignment really begins with the trade show process. It's, you know, tapping into, if you have an SDR group that you can use to call, to email, to use social. And it's a lot of the same touch points that you'd use to just setting up meetings on a regular basis. So, you know, getting out in front of it. We also recommend if there's like a local community, whether it's, you know, if you're targeting IT professionals, a lot of times it's like going through Spiceworks, and you can go through there, you can advertise and, you know, hit them with a little bit more direct content. And different association trade shows have different networks like this. So always advertising in a local space like that is going to be, you know, a little bit more targeted.
Makes sense. So to start driving people to the event, you would say 6 weeks. And how much in advance do companies need to plan for the event? Because there is a whole lot of things that go around it, right? So where your booth is going to be, what sort of budget you have, all the suppliers that you need to engage for that. How long does that take typically?
So a lot of association trade shows will make you pick your booth space a year in advance. So you'll at least know your space a year out. But in terms of, you know, if you're building a brand new booth for the show, I would say at least 6 to 9 months. And that really, that 3-month gap is if you're looking for a new partner, potentially, you know, it'll take 1 to 2 months for design. It'll take another few weeks for, you know, pricing and negotiation. So I would say anywhere from 6 to 9 months is realistic. If you're not going with a new booth, you can probably expedite that and do it more in like 4 to 6 months.
So I guess having trusted partners also helps sometimes to reduce that time and that friction at the beginning.
Absolutely. I mean, the proposal process, like everybody knows, can take a very long time. First vetting out, you know, a large group of partners and then narrowing it down to a smaller group and then finalizing design. You know, design is always design, and graphic elements in a booth are always what take the longest time.
Okay. And why is that? Is it because of like the back and forth, or is it just because it like needs to deal with the brand guidelines, or what kind of makes them take so long?
A little bit of everything. There are lots of opinions when it comes to design because it's subjective. You know, it's like, and you, nothing is ever 100% right. It's, well, what do you think about this? It's not, you know, facts and figures. It's, you know, so a lot, there are always a lot of opinions. It depends how many stakeholders are involved. So yeah, they'll be like, oh, I absolutely love this, but I need to show it to leadership. And then leadership's like, well, I want to change A, B, and C. And then there's always, you know, always tons of pricing questions because it's a big investment for most companies.
Yeah. We've seen that in so many other, elements as well, right? It's not just when it comes to trade shows, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. So when we think about the booth, how important is it when it comes to attracting and advertising the attendees? How can companies communicate their brand message through the booth design, and how can they stand out? Because obviously, trade shows are always busy and there's a lot of noise, a lot of color. Everybody's trying to stand out. So yeah. Is there a way to stand out? What are the things that companies need to keep in mind when it comes to that?
So there are definitely ways to stand out. And I'm obviously biased. I think your trade show booth is very important. And, you know, coming, if you think about it this way, it is one of the only physical manifestations of your brand. So in most B2B concepts, you're looking at a website, you're talking to somebody on a phone, but this is literally bringing your brand to life in a place. So if you're coming with this, you know, cheap looking, wrinkled fabrics, broken down booth, it just represents the quality of your brand. And if that's what you're selling, hopefully you have a cheaper price point. But if you know you're selling to an enterprise level client, you're going to need to come with a booth that represents you in that way. And when it comes to messaging, it is actually something we've been talking about a lot lately. There are so many vague, bland brand messages out there. It's like, we do this. Like, okay, well, what's the benefit and who are you talking to? So we talk to, it's called Designing for Decision Makers through Analytical Design. And it's changing out that second tier of messaging from just having a brand statement to speak specifically to your audience. You know, an example we use is a client, they're a client now, they weren't a client, funny enough, when I saw this graphic, but we were at a show called NRF, it's the National Retail Federation, it's the big show. It's every January in New York City. And one of their graphics showed a case study, essentially. They're saying, Gap Inc., we've saved them 85% of IT visits over their 3,300 stores. And it was so specific that it's like, all right, they're clearly only talking to a certain level of prospect. So nobody else is, well, maybe not nobody else, but most people will see that and be like, oh, I'm not the right fit for them. So it's being specific with your messaging and not just saying, we're the best provider of XYZ, because it's like, well, you're really not saying anything to anybody with that. And one of the important parts of the trade show is, even if you're scheduling meetings 6 weeks out and you have that whole campaign, 30 to 40% of the meetings you're holding on site are people that are just walking by. So you have roughly 3 to 5 seconds to grab their attention and say something that's going to compel them to start a conversation with you right there.
So I guess this is a mixture of the booth design and the position and also the approach, right? Because when people walk past, you have to be armed with the right message and the right approach as well to engage them. Quick question for you regarding swags. I know there is a lot of conversations about, like, should you have some, should you not? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
You can't fight it. Everybody's going to have it. I've recently finally given in that it's like, listen, I'm not going to fight this battle anymore. Everybody's going to have swag. So I've here's my approach to swag. And there are three different strategies that I would approach. There's one, people like me, I go to a show, there's an expectation I'm coming home with gifts for my kids. So give me something quality to bring home, whether it's a stuffed animal or something fun and playful. But again, it can't be cheap, something that's going to fall apart, you know, within a week. So you target the parents. That's one way. Another way is road warriors. I actually have a cord case that I bring with me on every trip that I probably had for about 6 years now. And the company that gave it to me, I'll never forget. And it's something that I keep with me all the time. So that's the other one, you know, the road warriors, giving them something useful that they can keep with them for quite a while. And then the last one is hospitality. So if you're going to give something away, people love food. They're willing to wait in line for it. And, you know, that's actually, if there is a line, it's another way to have an easy conversation with them. So it also, oh, let me add to that, on the food front, make sure it makes sense. You know, there was an example recently I really liked. It was a show called HIMSS, which is a healthcare information management show. And this company had a nitrogen ice cream bar and it tied to the cloud offering because you could see the cloud from the nitrogen as they were using it. I was like, that's like, it was super clever. It was very tasty. And there was probably a 20 to 30 person line at all times. So it's like a very easy, even if you're planting some salespeople on the line to have those conversations, it's like, it's a very easy, unguarded conversation. You know, they're going to be there not expecting, and don't, you know, don't do a hard sell in that moment, but it's a really good way to start a relationship and start a conversation. So yeah, no, swag is a must, but it can be done better in most cases.
Yeah, that's clever. Interesting. So in terms of metrics and measurements, obviously everybody goes to a trade show to promote their brand, to drive business, meet with their clients. What are the sort of metrics that companies should be tracking to evaluate the success of the trade show?
So obviously it's a complex answer and it always depends on why you're there. You know, there's always, if you're there for awareness, a lot of it's going to be, you know, scanning badges and making sure you're collecting as many leads as possible. With that, I recommend always asking at least 3 to 5 questions, and they should be closed questions that are simple answers. But, you know, scanning a badge just to say, oh, look how many people saw our booth and saw our brand is not, it's a fake awareness measurement. So if you're able to at least ask 3 to 4 or 5 questions, you can feed your sales team with information that's going to make it very easy and actionable for them to follow up. So if you're looking for awareness, it's always going to be badge scans, but I would say always ask a few questions to make sure they're at least qualified. We always are looking at meetings held on site and whether that's a net new prospect that you're meeting with or somebody that's already within your, you know, opportunity pipeline, making sure that you're measuring those touch points across events. You know, we have one client that actually talks about that a lot and he shows the path. It's like, all right, here's where we met with them at the first event, then the opportunity was open, then we met with them at an event, you know, 6 months later. And because oftentimes events will accelerate your pipeline deals. So it's making sure that you're tracking meetings held with, you know, those net new as well as anybody that is a new net new or an existing opportunity. And then another one that's really harder to measure, but there's technology available to make it a little bit easier. It's how much time they're spending in your booth or dwell time. And, you know, the longer someone's in your booth, the more likely they're going to at least turn into an opportunity or the more likely they're going to buy. And there's actually some really cheap, or not necessarily inexpensive, RFID technology that you can track how long people spend in your booth. Now, you won't get their name or their demographics, but it'll at least speak to you about the flow of your booth and how it's working. It'll speak to you on which products or services are more popular. So yeah, dwell time is definitely a really important one and a good metric for a lot of different things. But yeah, when it comes to awareness, lead scans, when it comes to just meetings held, whether it's net new or existing opportunities, and then dwell time are three areas you could definitely look at to get some good ROI.
Interesting. And when it comes to collecting leads, and I know you mentioned earlier as well that, you know, 30 to 40% of the booth traffic is from people that are just passing by, right? Mm-hmm. What are the techniques and better ways to engage with people? Because some people, like, they kind of don't really walk so close because they don't want to be approached by somebody, and others are like, you know, you see they come closer because they're open to a conversation. What are the best mm-hmm. practices around that?
You mean like when you make eye contact, it's like, oh, you made eye contact. You clearly need to come in my booth now. That used to be what I would do. Because I've worked booths for old companies in the past. And it's like, yeah, that was one of my go-tos. It's like, you made eye contact. You have to talk to me now. It's grabbing them through the messaging is a lot of the ways. But, you know, first there's lead scanning devices that the show will offer. You could also do custom ones throughout external third-party agencies. But I think it's just starting a conversation. I think, you know, making that eye contact almost forces a conversation. But, you know, it's like anything else. You don't want to trick them into coming into your booth. It's, you know, ask a couple quick questions that, like, you know, I was saying a little bit earlier about these closed-ended questions. It's like, oh, well, if you're answering it this way, then you're at least worth having a 2-3 minute conversation. And, you know, getting past that, it's like, we'll qualify you a little bit deeper. We'll start asking a little bit more open-ended questions that, you know, we need certain answers to move you along. And, you know, there are different, I would say, engagements within the booth, whether it's creating an experience through a competitive game, or it's, you know, a lot of people rely on, there's a show here, I don't know if you have it, The Price is Right, and all sorts of Price is Right games make it to trade shows, whether it's Plinko or spinning a wheel or whatever it is. You know, I think people naturally love competition. So it's a easy way to drive people into your booth and get their information, at least on a surface level.
Any exciting ones you've seen? I love the example you gave of the ice cream. So is there any kind of experiences or competitions that you've seen that were quite disruptive and interesting?
So, well, there are a million. I'm going to give one of ours. So we work with a company called MHS, and they go to a show called ProMat and Modax, and they switch up every year. And it's a warehouse automation show. So you can imagine there's like these massive machines at the show. So they actually stopped bringing pretty much all of their machines to the show, and they fill their space with just, this is what it's like to walk through the sales process, you know, from beginning to end. But right up front, we created a Wordle game, which this was 2 years ago. So it was still very, very popular. I still play every game every day, just throw that out there. But we created a custom Wordle game for them. So if you won, A, you got a choice of 3 different prizes that were all pretty fun, but you got to see the mechanics of their machinery and software all work. So if you won, it tapped into the robotic arm. The robotic arm would take something out of the bin that was sorted by their sorting machine. Then it would go on their conveyor belt and bring it to the winner, and then they would get picked out and given to them. So you got to see their full turnkey services, but it was done through a fun and interesting way. You know, when you're talking like B2B tech, so many companies rely on these PowerPoint presentations. So if you can bring together your offering in a unique way, and it doesn't always have to be like that, you know, that's obviously an extensive example, but I've also seen companies create like Lego experiences. One was, and I can't remember the name of the company, which kind of kills me. Doesn't make it a good example that way, but they set up a Lego maze, and their tagline was, "We will get you through the maze of healthcare paperwork." And you basically got a fishing rod with a character, and you had to lead them through the maze, this Lego maze. And if you made your character all the way through the maze, you got to choose one of their, you know, 100 Lego characters that they had there, and you got to take it with you. So there are a lot of just, you know, whether it's an analog or a digital solution, there are ways to get people hands-on to understand your product in a simple way that's way more interesting than a PowerPoint presentation or someone just talking at you in a theater presentation.
Love that. Love that. It's all about engagement and being memorable, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, they're going to have dozens of conversations at these shows. So if you're not doing something different, you're just going to get lumped in and you're not going to be remembered.
Yeah, makes sense. Right. When it comes to after show, then obviously there is a lot of leads now that people need to filter through and make sure that they convert those leads into opportunities. What is your best practice around that? Like, do they start immediately after the show? Do they give it a week, or what's the timing for that?
It's all about speed. You know, similar, building off my point that I was just making about, you know, they're having dozens of these conversations. The faster you get back in touch with them, the more likely they're going to remember the conversation you had. So, you know, I think there's always that automated generic follow-up email that comes from a show, but I would say, you know, give it until the beginning of the next week and start your follow-up, you know, reference the conversation you had and talk to the points that it's like, hey, we talked about on-site, you know, setting up a meeting on this date. It's like, speak specifically to the conversation you had, and then it'll make it more memorable and, you know, remind them of the experiences they had in your space. But yeah, it's all about speed, because they're, you know, I think about how we work. If I don't do something immediately, I have already forgotten.
Yeah. And I think especially in trade shows, I mean, we use RSA as an example, which is the large cybersecurity event. There is like 600 vendors. And if you think about it, people will be targeted by all of those 600 vendors. Well, not all of them, but the majority. You really have to be quick, as you said, and you need to find a way to stand out, because everybody's fighting for the same audience and for the same market share. So yeah, definitely speed is of essence there. Interesting. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Jay. I think it's a masterclass of trade shows here. I'm sure, you know, we know what happens with COVID, where trade shows were, you know, completely substituted by other options. But now it seems like it's coming back fully and even stronger than before. I think people were really longing that sort of human interaction and events and face-to-face time. So, yeah, we've seen some really, really busy events lately. So, I'm sure you guys are glad that COVID is over.
Yes, for so many reasons, but it has been crazy busy for us for solidly 2 years now, where it's like there used to be downtimes in the year, and that doesn't really exist right now.
Yeah, no, it's good to hear. So if anybody wants to learn more about the company or learn more about tactics and strategies for trade shows, what's the best way to find you and get in touch with you, Jay?
LinkedIn is always my go-to. I post all the time sharing tips like we're talking about today. So you can find me there pretty easily. You can, of course, email me, and it's Minash, the letter J, at edecorp.com. And if people are just looking for tips and don't even want to talk to me, they can go to our Knowledge Hub. There's a lot of really strong content on how to be a better event and trade show marketer.
Great. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much again for sharing all your knowledge. And I'm sure we'll be catching up soon again.
Yes. Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to B2B Revenue Acceleration. To ensure that you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
Looking to grow your pipeline? Download the free SDR handbook from Operatix for insider tips and expert advice on how to launch, grow, and manage a successful sales development team. Head to operatix.net/SDR-handbook/ to download now.